Signs and wonders, principle number three. Important to church growth. Now folks, now you realize why we have to spend so much time before the breakthrough. Because some of these principles don't come easy. You may have to be praying for many, many, many hours, many, many, many months, many, many years, depending on the place, to get these principles working. Because they don't just come by a program. You can program and organize a meeting, a seminar or a convention, but you cannot organize a revival. A revival is born of the Spirit of God, not of the minds of men. And not forgetting principle number 4, which is found in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. See, I give you all the scriptures where there's growth taking place and behind it is a principle. Acts 4 verse 32 to 37. And the multitude of those who believe were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as anyone had need. Now this principle is again mentioned in a different sense in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. Acts 2, 41 to 47. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common. Same principle we read in Acts 4. They had all things in common. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Principle number 4, love and unity. Psalms 133 says that where brethren dwell together in unity, the Lord commands a blessing upon them. In the same way as disunity causes churches to grow small and split, unity and love, that's why I put love there, love, the love of God and unity will cause a church to grow. Now many of these traditional churches have grown by that principle, ever strong and slow, because there is a cohesiveness among the people. Cell groups and all the meetings in homes were the result of them uniting together. There's love and unity. And so sometimes humans unite through a common method, a common vision, a common thing. But behind it, the love and unity still must flow. I mean, in many cell group churches that I know of, some of them, on Sunday, the pastor preached a message. Then in the weekday, they repeat the same message. And they continue. They have a unity in their doctrine flowing right down. And there need to be some form of unity. And the reason we have not followed that system, and in fact, we encourage home meetings, but we have what I call divergent home meetings. That is, gifts to come up, so that they can grow further. It depends on the goal of the church. If the church is just interested, you look at many cell churches today, when you talk to the ordinary member of a cell church, some of the cell church members, it may be a big church, but many of them are very shallow spiritually. They have a lot of zeal, but they're not deep. Because they are saved, and they keep saving without growing deep in God. There's not much knowledge in the Word. And so depend on the vision of a church. We need to encompass all the various visions to grow. And so we do have, as we see here, love and unity. Where love and unity is among God's people, growth results. The body finds its place, the body ministry. And people love to be loved. It needs a man. And people will grow. Church will grow. Principle number 4. Principle number 5. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, principle number 5. And so here is another place where growth results. Look at Acts chapter 6. We read the first couple of verses. In those days when the number of the disciples were multiplying, so there they were growing, and there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude and of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." This saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed and laid hands on them, it says in verse 7, the word of God spread, and his church growth. The number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. You see, the word multiply several times. By the time you reach in chapter 6 here, in verse 7, where it says multiply, they've already gone through a few multiplications. If there were 5,000, minimum multiplication is 2, right? And you could go 3, 4, 5. Let's take the minimum 2, there will be 10,000 somewhere back. You multiply 10,000 minimum by 2 again, there will be 20,000. But this time, there may be 50,000 strong. There were a lot of people. Yes, if their widows are a small proportion of the church, having a lot of widows here show you, the church must be pretty big. Because a few percentage of the widows here make more noise than all of them could stand when they don't have enough food. But here they multiplied. Why did they multiply? Principle number, is it number 5? Number 5 is church structure. Where a church has a proper structure, where every leader finds his place, and everyone knows their place, there is growth. Yes, my friends, a structure of a church can prevent growth, can even destroy and stifle growth. So church structure is important in order for growth to come. And there are more principles on church structure, but basically that's the point, church structure. And sometimes a church structure has to be adapted to a place, to a culture. And that is where there is the principle behind the structure is important. The principles are everyone must find its place to spread their wings within that structure. There must be enough place for wings to flap. Enough place for the young to be nurtured without being stepped over. So a structure gives place to everyone. Church structure. And in a structure, there's always leadership. And in leadership, there's always a flow of authority. So those are behind the structure. When they structure it properly, growth results. Number 6. And we look at Acts chapter 13. Verse 1 to 3. It says, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius, a Cyrenian, who had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit says, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. And having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." Now we also need to look at Acts 11. And it tells us when Paul first went there, in Acts 11, verse 26, "When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the people and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." The sixth principle is the establishment of the fivefold ministries. When fivefold ministries arise from the group, or fivefold ministries come from without into the group, it causes the church to grow. Fivefold being apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So that is why church growth can be produced by fivefold ministry. Now when you look at all these principles, you realize that some of these principles are utilized a little bit here and there by churches without them realizing it. See, sometimes, let's say you get Benny Hinn or one of fivefold to come to a church. And then everyone catches a vision. Everyone receives some level of anointing. Because of fivefold, you receive a prophet in the name of prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. So the church receive a prophet's reward, or apostle's reward, or evangelist's reward, or whatever. And so when he has left town, if they would diligent, they do contain push a little further in growth. And sometimes fivefold grow from among the people. And when they grow to among the people, not only does the local church grow, now I'm sure you count church growth also when a church goes out to plant another church. That is also growth. It's growth in another place. They have stretched forth their boundaries. And so fivefold ministries, the establishment of them and giving place to them, the welcoming of them and the training and nurturing of fivefold up in the ministry will cause church growth. The sixth principle. The seventh principle is what I call the timing or the season of God. Now look at Acts chapter 11, the seventh and the last principle. It tells us here that when the disciples went out and they were being persecuted in Acts 11 verse 21, that the hand of the Lord was with them and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Now in line with this principle, I need to look at Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 16, the principle of Philippi. Acts 16. Now Paul was going forth on his missionary journey, but here's an interesting thing from verse 6 to verse 10. It says, now when they'd gone to Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. After he had seen the vision, he immediately sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us there to preach the gospel. And when they went there, there was a group of women praying by the riverside, and Paul started there with a group of women, and it grew into a mighty church called the Philippian Church, which is one of the best churches that Paul ever planted. What is the story behind? Notice that the Holy Spirit didn't allow him to go to Bithynia and didn't allow him to go to Mysia, but sent him to Philippi. Church growth principle number 7 depends on the hand of the Lord, the refreshing of the Lord, and the season of the Lord. Because church growth is basically harvest time. Correct. If there's a harvest time, it implies there's a sowing time. So some places, it's a sowing time. And the fields are not ripe for the harvest yet. So wait until the harvest time to cast in the sickle or to throw out the nets. Just like some of you who are expert fishermen, you know that in terms of fishing, timing and location are important. You go, he's shaking, he said, I better consult the fisherman. He just taught me that principle, right? Okay. Timing and location are important. Oh, plus, of course, your nets, right? And the boat, okay. How much fish you catch depends on whether you go out with a line or you go out with net too. But besides that, it's timing and location. So, in terms of church growth, for example, you could have the best person. Let's say, you send Rahab Bonke and Benny Hinn to Iran to plant a church. Let me tell you, at the end of 3 years, if they go 150, you should be happy. And of course, if you send them to India to plant a church, at the end of 3 years, they may have a church of 1 million in size. What are we talking about here? There are some places that are sowing and semi-reaping. Some places that are full ripe harvest. And so we need to know that to the Lord so that you do not get frustrated. Because God is not measuring you based on your size outwardly. He's measuring you on your size inwardly. If your heart is big, in the end you will still affect the nation. Amen. So that's the point number 7, and I read that last verse in line with what I call the times and the flow with the times and the seasons of God. So in that way, you won't frustrate yourself, frustrate others, and frustrate the Lord in the process. in Acts chapter 3, among Peter's sermon, he says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, "Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted, and so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And so there's a time or so.